Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today is going to kind of be a potpourri of different topics and different things. And so today is the 21st of May, 2011. And we can say for sure that the rapture has not occurred. There's no question that Harold Camping was wrong. Now, isn't it amazing, one of the most often read chapters in the book of Matthew is Matthew 24. But isn't it amazing how people don't really understand what's going on? You see, people come to the Bible to find what they want to find, rather than to find what God wants them to find. And that is the true understanding of human nature, and how God will deal with them upon repentance. And he's given for those who are prophets, and we'll cover some of that today, some very important things to understand. Now here, Matthew 24 and verse 3. Let's pick it up here, and we'll cover a few of these verses for a little foundation, and then we'll go on from there. They wanted to know when all these things would happen and the completion of the age would come. And Matthew 24 and verse 3, then Jesus answered and said to them, be on guard so that no one deceives you. That's why we have to always test and prove whether it agrees with the Bible or not. And when we do that, it has to agree with the whole Bible, not just a section of the Bible. Now, a section is applicable to a certain action at a certain time. But when we're talking about the return of Jesus Christ, Jesus was very clear because he understood it. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And many means the majority of people. And just look at what's happening in the news. Wars, rumors of wars. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, always been. These are the beginning of sorrows. I don't know if we're in the beginning of sorrows or not, but it seems like there's an awful lot of sorrow going on nowadays, more than before. So we can't say definitely for sure. They'll deliver you up to affliction and shall kill you. We can see that building where it will take place, and a lot of it's going to happen, like, because those various ministers, like Harold Camping, who speaks in the name of God, but God never sent him, that's going to make people hate what they think is Christianity even more. And that will also discourage and disillusion them, and it will put them in also a point of haughtiness and ridicule. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Well, that doesn't take away from the words of Christ because people don't understand them. See? Then he says, then many shall be led into sin, shall betray one another and hate one another. And boy, that's sure true today. Much more so than, you know, 20 years ago. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And that also happens within the churches of God. The churches of God are prime targets. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? Yes, indeed. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And it talks about the gospel of the kingdom being preached in the world, which it will be. Then he tells us a point of time, which I've covered before, that's going to tell us the beginning of the tribulation. See, because Harold Camping believes, and many Protestants believe, in a rapture where all of the good Christians supposedly are going to be raptured away from the tribulation. Nowhere does the Bible teach the rapture. That is a lie, that is a misinterpretation, that is a figment of the imagination of human beings. Okay. There will come the great tribulation, but first there has to be the abomination of desolation set up in the holy place. that tells us that a temple has to be built in order for that to take place. And we also have to tie it in with the last week of the 70-week prophecies of Daniel 9. Everything has to fit together. All right. Now, it's going to come with the great tribulation, verse 21. Then there shall be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Now, those are some pretty tough times. So as you watch some of the documentaries of what happens with people in wars and what have happened in the various things we're acquainted with and look at today. Right today, while we're speaking, we have drought, we have flood, we have disaster, we have death, we have murder, we have killing, we have rape. And look at the just this week, what do we have? True Lies finally came back on Arnold Schwarzenegger. He made a movie called True Lies. And then how about the head of the IMF? Well, those things happen. All because mankind is basically evil. And a lot of nice little women will say, oh, that's not true. I'm nice. No, but you have jealousy and hatred and resentment and envy, don't you? Yes, that is destructive, is it not? And what happens when you have all of those inner sins? You bring a lot of sickness upon you, and who are you destroying? You're not out murdering somebody, but you're destroying yourself. So we have to understand, human beings were made by God, for God, for his purpose. We need God, we need his spirit, we need his word, we are incomplete, and no man or woman unto themselves is going to do anything to cause God to do something different than he has already determined. That's why God calls us to repentance. Remember the first thing Jesus said when he came into Galilee preaching the gospel? He said, repent and believe the gospel. That's what we have to believe, all of it. Now here's a promise. Such as not has been from the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be again. And if those days were not limited, now the King James says shortened. Now, I don't know how many sermons I've heard from there. Minister would get up and say, boy, you better watch what you're doing because God will cut short the time. Well, then what about the prophecies where he prophesied certain times? Okay? Doesn't mean that. It says he's limited it. And the events at the end are limited by Daniel 9, the 70th week, to 7 years at the end time. And the Bible tells us that there will arise the Antichrist, and he will make an agreement with the Jews. Now, look at what's happening to the Jews. Look at the difficulties they're in. And look at their friend, Barack Hussein Obama. I enjoyed very much what Netanyahu did to the president publicly, because we have the most arrogant, wretched president we've ever had. Now, some people say you shouldn't say that. Well, what should I say? So those days are limited. And if not, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be saved. And those who have the Spirit of God are the elect. Then he continues and said, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I foretold it to you. If they say to you, come and see, he's in the wilderness. Don't go. Come and see, he's in the secret chamber. Don't believe it. Then he talks about how he's going to come. We'll talk about this as we lead up to Pentecost. Like the light of day. It isn't going to be a secret whisper in someone's ear and whoosh, you're off to heaven. That's your own works. Let's come down here to verse 34. Okay. Truly I say to you, this generation shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. Now that's not the generation during Jesus' time, because there was no abomination that stood in the holy place. This is the generation of the end time. Now, when that generation begins and ends, we don't know. Because you can figure generations and they run anywhere from 25 years to 69 years. And how are you going to figure a generation that is long-lived? All right. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And that's where everyone needs to focus on. Every word of Christ is true, going to come to pass, automatically works in our lives when it pertains to our conduct, the Ten Commandments, and so forth. But concerning his return, he says, verse 36, but concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Harold Camping couldn't possibly know. But it's a very interesting thing, as we were discussing earlier. That idea and the day and setting himself forward to say that is idolatry. Now, many people don't recognize that. Now, he put himself forward, but he also said God was going to do this. So if you say God is going to do it and he doesn't do it, that means God didn't send you. And your ideas did not come from God. They came from Satan, the devil. Now let's come back here to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. And let's see what God says about the prophets of Israel. Now, I heard on the news one man asking Harold Camping, he said, well, what about all the people that sent money to you? You going to return it? He said, they freely given it. Well, if the end of the world is coming, why do you need money? Well, the unspoken answer is because if it doesn't happen, I need something to live on. Okay? Now, let's understand something. The major problems in the world are caused by human nature, but there are certain people who lead the pack. Number one are the religionists. Number two are the politicians. And when they work together, like we find at the end time in Revelation 13, look out. Big time trouble's ready to happen. So here's what God says. And word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those prophets who prophesy out of their own hearts, their own ideas. And if you put forth your own idea in place of God's, who are you worshiping? Yourself and Satan the devil. See? Your idea becomes more important than God. All right? Prophesy out of their own hearts, saying, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, woe to those foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Can anything describe Harold Camping any better than this? Seen nothing. Now, there was supposed to start an earthquake in Australia at 6 p.m. Australian time. And then in every time zone at 6 p.m. there was to be an earthquake until it finally went around the whole world. Haven't heard on the news anything happened in Australia. Have seen nothing. Verse 4. O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the ruins, just going to get what they want to get. You have not gone up into the breach. You have not built the wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. No. You don't help people. You want to help yourself. They've seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord says, and the Lord has not sent them. But they hoped to confirm their word. using the authority of God. Now, in the news coming up, I heard a reporter ask Harold Camping, well, how do you know this is going to happen? I am absolutely sure that it's going to happen. Now, you see, today we have an interesting thing, don't we? Which is exactly what Jesus said. Everything spoken in secret shall be shouted from the housetop. All of these things will be made known. So here we can have a housetop, car top, you know, laptop, whatever top you want, you can get the news and you can find out, right? Verse 7. Did you not see a vain vision and speak a lying divination when you say the Lord says, although I have not spoken? You see, that's why it would do well for all ministers to have cowbells, so everyone knows the opinion of the minister. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you spoke in vanity and have seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you. God is not for you. And if you think God is holding you up, it is the God of this world who is Satan the devil. Because all idolatry is worshiping Satan. Need to think on that. Verse 9, God continues, and my hand shall be against the prophets who see vanity and divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Now, you need to think about that. Here's a little test. What did the Apostle John write about knowing God? What did he say? He says, anyone who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Right? Okay. Not only the commandments of God, listed in the Ten Commandments and things like that, but also the words of Jesus. Like he said, do not be speaking your own words, okay? Do not be putting forth your own ideas. Rightly divide the word of God so you know and understand it. See, because we can sit here in our Church of God smugness and say, oh, look at those people out there in the world. Yes. Let me ask you a question. What has happened to the Church of God? And is happening to the Church of God? Exactly what we're reading here. Now, I don't care who you are, where you are. If you are in the Church of God, meaning you've been baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and you belong to God, you are going to be tested within your own church whether you're going to believe God or not, or whether you follow a man or not. Now, we need teachers, but then you have to test what is being taught. And you have to know. See, today we live in an age where there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, a lot of understanding. So God has given us the responsibility to know. That's why he's given his word, you see. And I keep in mind, and I think upon it quite often. Remember, I've covered in the past about Hezekiah. What happened to him? After God blessed him, saved them from the Assyrians, what happened? He got lifted up in vanity, got lifted up in pride. Now, what happens when that occurs? Well, it says, and God left him to try him to know what was in his heart. Now, you see, we need to know that God does that with all of us. He wants to know what's in our hearts. He tries the reins, he tries the heart, he tries the mind. I mean, we have the Spirit of God within us, do we not? Yes. Do we use that Spirit of God properly? Or do we grieve the Spirit of God? Now, some people think, well, if you grieve the Spirit of God, it must be a person. No, it really means to vex or frustrate or work at cross purposes with the Spirit of God. See, because if you have the Spirit of God and you're out there doing your own thing, or you're out there preaching your own doctrines, or you're out there living contrary to the Word of God, then you're in trouble. So that's why everyone needs to have a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And let me guarantee you one thing. That is the only thing that's going to see you through the difficult days we're living in. Because we are going to be tried every which way, upside down and backwards and crosswise, because we're faithful to the Word of God. Now, especially those in the churches of God that have recently experienced another split. You watch. You better arm yourself with the truth of God, and you better arm yourself with the Word of God, because I'm here to tell you that you are going to be tried from within because of the things that have happened, because the conduct of the brethren and the conduct of the ministry. No one is exempt. See, we can't get lifted up in vanity like it says here. We can't be speaking lies. Let's go on. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and when anyone builds a weak wall, they cover it with whitewash. Make it look good. You know, white is the color of righteousness, so let's put some whitewash on it. Make it look really, really good. Say to those who cover it with whitewash that it will fall. There will be a flooding rain, and you, O great hail, shall fall, and the storming wind will break forth. And behold, when the wall is fallen, it shall it not be said to you, where is the whitewash with which you have covered it? See, you need the Word of God. You need to be covered with the Spirit of God. See what's happening in the world? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there will be a flooding rain in my anger and hailstones in fury to destroy it. Question, how many tornadoes severe have we had this year? And where has it hit? In the Bible Belt. Because they have the Bible and they don't follow it. They have the Word of God and don't believe it. And yet they think they're safe, and they think they're going to be raptured away. They believe in lies. Let me tell you this. If you believe part of the Bible, you have part of the truth. But that part of the truth is no better for you than a lie. Now look at it this way. If you have a safe and you have the combination, and in there, we'll just say, are the instructions for eternal life, and you don't have all the numbers, or you don't know which way to turn the dial after which number, are you going to open the safe? Now, you may have some of the numbers which are true, but is that going to unlock the safe for you? Need to think about it. Isn't going to happen. Tell you what, reading these verses here about the storm, verse 11 through 13, that's exactly what's hit the Midwest. And I'll tell you another thing. It's cold here in California. And if we don't get some heat, we're not going to have some crops. And all those in the Midwest and the South that are soaked down in floods, when are you going to plow? When are you going to plant? You see, God means business. And it's the ministers. And we'll see in a little bit, the politicians who are the causes of the problems. And you can take that and you can expand it to any nation anywhere. You can expand it into any church anywhere. And you can examine it within the churches of God, and you will see the same exact things happen, because God's word is true. All right, let's go on. Verse 14. And I will break down the wall that you have covered with whitewash and bring it down to the ground. Yea, I will expose its foundation. And it shall fall, and you shall be destroyed in her midst. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And I will fulfill my wrath on the wall and on those who cover it with whitewash. And I will say to you, the wall is no more. Those who whitewashed it are no more. That is, the prophets of Israel concerning Jerusalem. I'll have a little bit to say about Jerusalem later on. But here we want to focus in on the cause, you see. But Jerusalem is also a type of all Israel, as well as the city of Jerusalem, which today is in severe trouble. Who see a vision of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord. Now, this was before the Babylonian invasion there in 585 BC. They're saying, oh, you'll have peace. It'll work out. And likewise, you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own hearts and prophesy against them. Okay? All the women in religious activities, too. That's coming more and more. The other day I was doing channel surfing, and guess what I saw? A woman preacher with a whole congregation of women. Need to read some things in the New Testament, don't you? Okay. All right, let's come down here to chapter 14. Here are the political leaders, the ones who should know. And notice what God says. This is really quite a tremendous chapter we need to understand. And some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. It's called political agendas. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Is it destroying the country? Yes, it is. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired by them? Is God going to listen to them? Oh, yes, just think, our wonderful Congress. They open with prayer with the chaplain every session. Has it done any good? No, because they don't believe God. And if someone comes in there to try to believe God, he's a troublemaker, get him out. Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel. Now that's every individual. See, so we need to look at this ourselves too. Who sets up his idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. Now that means you are not willing to come to God his way. You want your way. And then comes to the prophet to get that verified. I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. So we need to understand. Politicians have their idols. They have their political planks. They have their political parties. They have their friends. They have their colleagues. They have their allies. They have their people that they work with. But you see, everything that human beings do is utterly destructive in the final analysis. And people don't realize that. Today, we enshrine ideas. That's an idol. Today, everyone has an opinion. Well, if it's not correct according to the Word of God, it's an idol. Now, maybe you haven't looked at it that way. But that's the way it is. You know, just like I gave a sermon recently concerning tithing in the New Testament. Okay, hold your place here and come back to 1 Corinthians 9. I'll show you exactly what happened. So you know why I said what I said on that sermon. Now, and someone put on the internet, stay away from Fred Calder, he's after your money. I'm not after your money. I'm just telling you what God says. And you have to choose whether you're going to do it or not. So I got done explaining about the things concerning tithes and offerings. Now, if you want, we have a whole series that you can listen to, and you can follow through. So here in 1 Corinthians 9, I was showing what the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, let's come down here to verse 11 and follow through in a few verses to understand what it's saying. Just to give you an example, if we have sown to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your physical things? If others participate in this authority, so he's talking about authority to what? We'll see in just a minute, to receive things from the brethren. If others participate in this authority over you, much more surely should not we. And someone says, well, Paul didn't collect tithes and offerings from them. No, he didn't. Because of all the false teachers they were following, he said, okay, they're asking for the tithes and offerings, and you're giving it to them. I'm not going to ask for anything, and I want to see if you're going to believe God and follow him. That's what he did. Later, as we saw, he said that was wrong. But notice, let's go on. He said, nevertheless, we have not used this authority. Doesn't say it didn't exist. But we have endured all things so that we might not hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who are laboring in the sacred things of the temple live of the things of the temple? Now, what's that? Tithes and offerings, correct? And those who are ministering at the altar are partaker of the altar. What does that mean? That means that the priests who were offering the wave sheaf, they got part of the wave sheaf. And they got parts of the various sacrifices that God told them that they could have. So this man came up and said, well, you know, I don't believe in the New Testament that we're to tithe. So I said, all right. I read to you verse 14. So let's read it. In the same way also. Now, what does in the same way also mean? Does that mean it's done away? What are we talking about? Okay. The Lord did command that those who preach the gospel are to live of the gospel. Okay? What did God command? Who is the Lord? Is he not Melchizedek? See? Now, you have to prove those things yourself. And if you're willing to live by the word of God, then you have to do as Jesus said. Okay. The Lord commanded it. Now, you read the next verse, verse 15, but I have not used any of these things and have not written these things in order that this might be done to me. And I haven't read this to club you over the head with tithes and offerings, but to tell you what the word of God says. For it would have been better for me to die rather than to have anyone make my boasting void. Okay, now let's come back here to Ezekiel 14. So here's what God wants. See, God is going to answer everyone according to the idols of the heart. Now remember the sermons I've been giving on the washing of the water of the word? That we need to have our minds cleansed, not only of the sins and things like that, but ideas that are contrary to God? See? Now, remember this. No man knows what goes on in your cranium except you. Now, lots of times your wife thinks that she knows exactly what you're thinking, but she doesn't. Sometimes you think you know exactly what your wife is thinking, but you don't. Now, you may be nearly correct, but God is the only one who knows. So what are the idols that you have in your mind? So with the washing of the water of the word, you have to get rid of the idols, correct? Isn't that true? Isn't that part of conversion? Absolutely it is. Okay. So God says, he says, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. Now you see, there can be in degree, in degree, in degree, in degree, right? So you need to think about it, analyze how it is. So what does God say? What is the message for all of us? For me, for you, for every one of us. Right here. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Okay, that's what God wants. See? Now, we can say the same thing to Harold Camping. Your idol was May 21st. And you lied, giving scripture saying that this will happen and it didn't happen, and you spoke falsely in the name of the Lord. Now God is going to judge you for that. God is judging every human being everywhere, all the time, in varying degrees, depending upon our behavior, depending on whether we are called or not called, depending on how much of the Word of God we know or don't know. But every minister and every politician is going to be judged by truth as compared to their ideas, judged by God directly if they speak in His name, because if He didn't send them, look out. That's why God says, whoa, it's going to happen. And look at all of the people. I just imagine today is a glorious day for all the atheists. Look what you've done for the enemies of God, being an enemy of God yourself. Oh, ho, 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 look, there's another minister. This Jesus stuff I don't believe. Why should you believe it? Look, they're all a bunch of liars and crooks and thieves. And they would be speaking about 99% truth. So you see what that does? You see what happens? Now, even in the Church of God, there is a man who set himself up as an idol in his own heart, saying that he is that prophet from Deuteronomy 18. And Peter said, that was Christ. And yet, how many people, like lemmings, follow him and believe him and are led astray, thinking they'll receive salvation because they attend a church. See, salvation comes from your relationship with God. When we gather together in an assembly, then that's the church. And you are part of the church if you have the Spirit of God. But if you follow the idols of a minister who is supposed to be a minister of the Church of God, and you believe those things, you're going to fall with them just like the wall that we read about there in Ezekiel 13. So we're living in tough times. We have tough choices to make. We have difficulties that we need to really face with truth and honesty. We're going to have a lot of difficulties come along because of the way of the world and what is happening in the world and what is happening in the church. And so if we are not spiritually right with God in a relationship with Him, it's going to be hard to handle, because God isn't going to keep you from trouble. He will deliver you through it and out of it. But how are you going to handle it when it comes? Well, we'll look some more at this, because Harold Camping isn't the only one.